Hello and welcome to the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs podcast for January 15th, 2009. Here's the speaker for today, Mayor of Lethbridge, Bob Tarlick.
During my time in public life, I've been called many things. Never before a wall of silence. I'm glad to see Les Talbot here. I visited Les the day after he got back from Toronto, and he was surrounded by a wall of snow, and I'm glad that he was able to get out. During a period of fiscal uncertainty, it's probably not surprising that citizens are especially interested in how their public dollars are spent. The assessment provided by the auditors who scrutinized our annual report should provide some comfort. The auditors note that the city has continued its long-standing financial policies and procedures, which has resulted in the current strong financial position. That's not the mayor speaking, that's our auditor speaking. One of the fiscal tools that the city has employed to build a solid financial footing, and when we're talking about the times we're in now, I think we're all especially sensitive to that. I like you, yesterday I read about Nortel, which was Canada's major high-tech corporate crown, and now we see that that's going into receivership. Years ago, if we'd ever thought of General Motors ever being in difficulty, that would have been beyond the pale of our understanding. But we live in difficult times, and I'm not surprised at all that paying attention to how we're managing dollars in our city is on the public attention. One of the ways we try to do this is through multi-year budgeting. The city finds that there are four principal ways of advantages in multi-year budgeting. First of all, it's more efficient use of administrative time and resources. Typically in a city, you complete one budget and within months, the administration and the bureaucracy begin work on the next one. So an incredible amount of their time is spent on that. We're able to compress this, and we also think that this allows us to spend more time in the intervening period focusing on business unit effectiveness and building in measures so that we can assess how effectively we're using dollars. So that leads to the second issue then, is a stronger emphasis on business unit accountability. Third, this allows us to ensure that the budget proposals reflect city council policies and priorities. If you wonder what drives the city, what the city council does after every election is it puts together a strategic plan. This is the last one done by council in its first year. And the budget is a direct reflection of the priorities and issues that council identifies. In addition to that, I think the multi-year budget strengthens the city's commitment to fiscal discipline. Meeting as Finance Committee between November 17th and 21st, City Council developed a budget that reflects an average annual change to the municipal tax bill of 4.85% for 2009 through 2011. About 3.9% of that is just continuation of the existing programs and programs and budget items. So the new items reflecting the needs of a growing city reflect less than 1% increase. Of that, the largest issue was police. And if you've been reading about the issues in Calgary lately, and they're saying that they were 5 years late in getting on to the anti-gang issue now, and that seems to be out of control, that's already on our mind. And that's one of the reasons we're investing in police services, because we want to be ahead of the curve before organized criminal groups get entrenched in our community. And we're not naive enough to think that there aren't attractions for organized crime in our community, most particularly centering on drugs. The average annual change combined tax and utility bills is estimated at 3.90% for each of the next 3 years. This is, of course, subjected to some changes to the national and international markets, particularly for energy. I think another example of the city's sound financial planning is our successful implementation of a pay-as-you-go philosophy that really began some years ago under the direction of Mayor David Carpenter. This plan had its beginning around 1989 when council of that day announced plans for a 5-year dedicated tax increase of 2.61%. The idea was you'd have 2.61% that would be carried on for 5 years. In actual fact, it was a little less than that. One of those years, the federal government began applying GST against the city, and so rather than adding another 1%, we took that off. So in actual fact, the dedication ended up being 2.21%. We also benefit from a provincial grant given to municipalities about that time to help municipalities deal with the debt situation. And that was during the time of Premier Lougheed. And that was certainly a helpful foundation for us, but there's an interesting story behind that as well. During the time leading up to that, council was very worried. They wanted to ensure that that grant was given on a per capita basis, because an earlier iteration during the reign of a social credit government had bailed out Alberta municipalities who were in deep financial problems. And because if the city of Lethbridge wasn't in that situation, we essentially lost out. So in the lead up to the grant that the provincial government gave us during the Lougheed area, we lobbied very hard to ensure that it would be on a per capita basis. It was. And the resulting nest egg we had was part of the foundation that helped us establish the pay-as-you-go philosophy. The pay-as-you-go program has benefited taxpayers by reducing reliance on external debt to fund capital projects. Smaller projects can be paid for without borrowing and funding for larger projects can be borrowed from the Municipal Revenue Stabilization Reserve rather than from the Alberta Capital Finance Authority. This means that the city pays interest to itself rather than to an external funding source. And we think the cost avoidance from using internal borrowing totals about $2.5 million to date. And based on the current estimates, we think that will grow to $3.8 million by 2015. The self-financing program has also allowed the city to finance both City Hall and the Lethbridge Police Station buildings. In May of 2006, the city was unable to do something many cities would dream to do. We were able to pay off our last tax-supported debt. A key part of the city's fiscal plan is to use operating and capital reserves to meet spending priorities without undermining the city's long-term stability. I know there has been some interest in the community about how large those reserves are. On a per capita basis, I believe it's around $576, which is less than half of the average of the mid-sized cities in Alberta. The average for the mid-sized cities is about $1,250. So we have the lowest reserve level and at the same time the lowest debt level. I think the Municipal Revenue Stability Reserve has given a stability to the city that I can appreciate having been around for a while. One of the things it does is protect us from unexpected fluctuations in revenue streams. And when I was on City Council in an era before the Municipal Revenue Stability Reserve, we did annual budgets, and the last part of putting together the budget was sitting down with our finance director to see how we had done with interest that year. And we'd be waiting with bated breath because if it was a good year for interest, that would give us a little more latitude in terms of the budget. We could come in with a little lower budget increase, or we could add a project that we really wanted to include. On the other hand, if it had to be a bad year, we had to look at either cutting some programs out or going to the public with a tax increase that was larger than we would have liked. So we were always riding that roller coaster. One of the key roles of the Municipal Revenue Stability Reserve is take us off the roller coaster. The reserve you're most likely to heard of is then the Municipal Revenue Stabilization Reserve, and it's designed to stabilize our finances during times of dramatic fluctuations in revenue streams. Tracking interest rates, as any of you know, any of you who are investing know, is a difficult thing to do at any time. And during a period of economic stress, even more difficult. So before the MRSR, all interest flowed directly to the operating budgets. If interest rates fluctuated wildly, the results was an often unpredictable swing in property tax requirements. Now all interest flows to the MRSR, and a fixed annual amount based on a long-term average amount for interest is shifted from the MRSR to the operating budget. In this way, the MRSR buffers the effects of fluctuating interest rates on property tax requirements. I'm going to say just a little about snow here because someone I know in the community is suggesting we should be paying snow out of the Municipal Revenue Stabilization Reserve. Well, this year we will be. We do have a snow budget. As you know, with this year we increased the snow removal budget by about 57%. But notwithstanding that, none of us had anticipated the sort of snowfall we had this year. We were spending, at the height of the storm, $160,000 a day. No time in the history of the city of Lethbridge have we put that many workers on the street with that much equipment and that much money behind them. So what we did last summer, without any knowledge that we have a snowfall like this, we wanted to give the snow removal program a little more flexibility. That is almost the only area of the city that we don't expect the business units to stay in budget. If there's snow, we go over budget. If there isn't snow, we have a little reserve. But by shifting we collapsed the snow removal reserve into the Municipal Revenue Stabilization Reserve because we thought that that would give us a lot more flexibility, and we're certainly going to have to draw upon that flexibility this year. The Fleet Service Reserve allows the city to replace fire, police, vehicles and heavy equipment according to plan schedule. And when you look at how expensive some of those pieces of equipment are, you really need to plan ahead. And we are able to do this by planning ahead without putting unreasonable demands on the taxpayer. An annual amount is transferred to the reserve for each piece of equipment. At the end of the useful life of the equipment, there's a sufficient amount of money in the reserve to replace that. The Fleet Reserve Fleet Services Reserve ensures ongoing reliability of the City of Lethbridge fleet. And each of those buses that you see going around the city costs well in excess of $300,000. They're probably at this point closer to $400,000. It's an incredibly expensive operation. At a recent conference that an auditing firm put on, KPMG, I believe put it on to municipalities in December, they used the City of Lethbridge as an example of how to use reserve funds effectively. And they point out, use the example of buses. And the It was Young, Park, and McNabb put on the workshop to municipalities around here in December. And they pointed out the example in the city of Lethbridge. As soon as we take delivery of a bus, we immediately begin putting money back into that reserve to purchase the next one. And one of the reasons we do this is not only so we have money to buy the bus, but we have the money to buy the bus when we need it. We track our buses as carefully as possible so we know what is the optimum point to sell those buses. When are they less reliable than they should be? And at what point are we putting out more money in maintenance than is required? The major capital projects reserve is used to assist the city in funding capital projects. And again, it buffers us from the short-term fluctuations of debt payments if you suddenly have to build a new project. I know some people have asked why we would fund programs from utilities through a reserve. Why not just through taxes? Well, I'd ask you, who pays for taxes? Pretty obvious. Homeowners, landlords, and businesses. And who uses our utilities? Well, homeowners, landlords, businesses. But also, McCain's Foods is a large purchaser of our water. The town of Coaldale, towns of Coalhurst, Picture Butte will probably soon be a client of ours for water, and the county of Lethbridge. In terms of sewage, the cheese factory out in Diamond City is a big user of our sewage system. They truck it in every day. In terms of our landfill, we have many communities in southwest Alberta that are using our landfill. And all of those programs can involve significant capital expenditures. So if we were to pay that out of tax dollars, that would mean the taxpayers of the city of Lethbridge would be subsidizing all of those people and organizations and companies outside of our community that are using our utilities. We don't think that's fair. Now, the city has a number of other reserves, and I won't go into those in detail. I'll just touch on two of them. The community lighting reserve, we know that we have to be prepared to extend our lighting programs as we expand the city, but we need to go back and replace lighting in existing communities. And where possible, we're trying to move to more energy-efficient lighting systems. We have an insurance reserve stabilization to affect unpredictable insurance premiums. We always hope that there will be predictability there, but sometimes things happen we don't have any control over. I'll give you an example. A number of years ago, a motorcyclist in, I believe, Mississauga was riding his motorcycle on a construction site. And it was marked police day out, but he rode his motorcycle up there and subsequently broke his neck and sued the city. And to everyone's surprise, he won. And that caused panic in municipalities right throughout the country and had an immediate impact on insurance rates. Fortunately for municipalities, the city of Mississauga appealed that and they won the appeal. But that gives you an example of the sorts of problems we can have. We always budget a certain amount for insurance premiums, but there could be events happening well outside of our community that have a major impact on what our insurance premiums are. Each one of these reserves then contributes to the financial stability of the city. One of the other things I want to touch on very briefly is infrastructure. I was just reading last week that the mayor of Calgary is pointing out that their tax increase doesn't come very even close to allowing them to meet their infrastructure needs. He said that they needed over 3 years a 25% tax increase just to begin to catch up on their infrastructure level. I was in a business meeting in central Canada this year. I won't mention the city, and the reeve of the county was with me, and we went under underpass, and he said, "Did you see that?" And in this city, have to be in Quebec, I won't mention which city it was, not unusual to have huge pieces of concrete falling off the the sides of overpasses and underpasses. In Quebec, as a matter of fact, they've had two overpasses collapse in the last 10 years. It is so easy to allow your infrastructure to degrade. And once that happens, once you fall behind the curve, it's very difficult to catch up. I'm rather proud of the fact that in the city of Lethbridge, we've had a tradition for many years of trying to maintain what we build. We think that if we can't maintain it, we shouldn't be building it. That goes for our roads, it goes for our bridges, it goes for all the buildings we have. Just recently, for instance, I had a chance to visit Stan Seawick Pool, which was just reopened. Now, that pool was opened in 1974. It had one retrofit about 13 or 14 years ago. Had another major retrofit the year. We just opened it in December, a $1 million retrofit. But in doing that, we extended the life of that building for many years. And we'll make sure that it's an important part of meeting the needs of the residents in North Lethbridge. They not only cleaned it up and painted, they had to do a lot of maintenance work to replace pipes. We tried a new system there. We went to a saltwater system, which increasingly pools are used now. We found there was one problem with that. The pool hadn't been built with that in intentions to start with, and so that caused some corrosion, so we had to replace that. They built a new changing room for families and handicapped individuals. And we spruced up the fitness, the hot tub area and the fitness area, because we find that people are expecting that in a fitness center. So we put $1 million into that. But that building will meet the needs of North Lethbridge for many years to come. The recently approved audited financial statement of the city underlies the financial strength of our city, notwithstanding the lingering uncertainty about the city's exposure as a result of the freezing of asset-backed commercial paper. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about that today, partly because that whole field is changing very quickly. As a matter of fact, I had a conference call with National Bank today. This started about 17 months ago. And it began with a bank that many of you have never heard of, BNP Paribas, a French bank. And on August 9th, 2007, they announced that they had three mutual funds they could no longer support because they didn't have buyers for that. And you might think, well, what has that got to do with Lethbridge? Within hours of that going on the net, there was a freezing of the short-term investment market right around the world. In Britain, the government had to buy banks. In the United States, the mortgage situation spiraled out of control. I'm certainly not suggesting that this was caused by BNP Paribas, but Alan Greenspan suggests this was the trigger. And so when we're looking at the asset-based situation, we're not looking at the city of making maybe a careless and thoughtless investment. We have a policy of only investing in AA investments, and we thought we were pretty careful. Well, obviously, this crisis indicated that we're in a new fiscal world, and it caused incredible problems for us. Fortunately, since just before Christmas, there have been some breakthroughs. The federal government, the governments of Ontario, Quebec, and Ontario came on to backstop a solution. The international, that was finished on the 21st of December, just in time for the international banks to agree, and they signed on the 22nd. The deadline for the completion of the Pan-Canadian agreement on this was tomorrow, but as a matter of fact, there were 4 days four days earlier, and now we are engaged with discussions with National Bank to finalize our arrangement. When we do that, we'll be having a press conference, and we'll try and answer as many questions as we can. I will make one observation that was made to me by some bankers. And at the time when there's so much doom and gloom, they're telling me that in terms of these investments, they think that we are in a considerably stronger position now than we would have been 6 months ago. So things will play out. We are working as I speak. I had a conference call with the National Bank today, and we're going to continue to be engaged in working out those arrangements. And when we do it, we'll have a press conference and present all of the information we can. At the beginning of this presentation, I quoted from our auditors as noting that the city has continued to follow a long-standing financial policies and procedures, which has resulted in its current strong position. I want you to know that there are people working in our finance department who have dedicated their careers to making sure that Lethbridge has as strong a financial position as possible. And on that point, I should indicate that people quite have on occasion asked me where I should point a finger in terms of the asset-based commercial issue. That was in accord with investment decisions that were made by the mayor of council. So if you're going to point a finger anywhere, you start with the mayor. Now, our staff have been working hard for a whole career to make sure that we have a safe, predictable, sustainable community. And I want to take this moment to thank the city officials and members of council over many years that have worked so hard to strengthen the financial position of the city. With the approach of a Chinese New Year, I'll conclude with an ancient Chinese proverb. One may argue endlessly as to whether a stick is straight or crooked, but the truth is found in laying a straight one alongside it. By every straight measuring stick I know of, the city of Lethbridge is found to be on solid financial footing. Thank you.